This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Okay, it's winter, but I want you to take a minute with me. Think about a hot summer day. You might be lying out in the sun for a while, maybe by a pool, maybe by one of those crystal clear blue lakes that we have in Idaho. So after a while, you know, it gets hot, right? So it's time to take a dip in the refreshing water to cool off. You know, humans are not the only mammals that get relief from a cool swim, according to a new study. Female grizzly bears seek out pools of water during warmer temperatures, especially lactating mama bears. Now, as climate change creates longer periods of heat in the Mountain West, what can the research tell us about grizzlies being able to adapt? Ryan Long is an associate professor of wildlife science at the University of Idaho, and he's joining us live today to talk more about this study. Ryan, good to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here, Jim.
Hey, it's nice to talk about grizzly bears for once and not the election or the inauguration or insurrection. So thank
you. I couldn't agree more.
Thank you for doing this research. Okay. So I do understand that grizzly research is kind of new to you. So what animals have you primarily focused on before in your research?
Yeah, you know, most of my work over the past decade or so is all revolved around large mammals, but mostly herbivores. So I've worked with everything from deer and elk and bighorn sheep here in the Intermountain West to antelope and Cape buffalo and elephants in southern Africa.
So the study, as I mentioned, this looks at the heat stress among grizzlies and how they cope with that. So you compared non-lactating females with lactating ones. So why hone in on this particular population to do the study on heat stress?
Yeah, well, you know, the focus really didn't start anyway so much with this population in particular. It was a more general question about how a big, large-bodied animal with thick fur like a grizzly deals with heat stress. But, you know, there were a couple of important things. So first of all, Yellowstone is pretty close to the southern end of the current distribution of grizzlies, right? So they're, you know, it's warmer than a lot of the environments that they currently live in. And second, and maybe even more importantly, back in 2016, National Geographic and the National Park Service had published a series of camera trap photos online that sort of documented bears exhibiting this interesting behavior of using these pools and submerging themselves. And that got us thinking about whether or not that might be a strategy that they're using to overcome heat stress.
So then what questions were you interested in answering or investigating in particular then with this study?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous as a male, but I would venture to guess that most women who have had children understand that or have experienced the additional heat that's produced by gestation and lactation. And mammals, especially larger bodied mammals, there's a really significant amount of heat that those processes produce. And the problem with that is for large bodied species like grizzlies, that's well adapted to cold temperatures, but not so well adapted to warm temperatures. That additional heat can be difficult to get rid of. But these are things that grizzly bears need to be able to do, right? They need to be able to reproduce. They need to be able to be active. And so we were interested in figuring out like, okay, they're in this situation where the stuff that they need to do produces a lot of extra heat. They're living in an environment that's pretty warm to begin with. Surely that means they must have some kind of behavioral strategies for dealing with that situation. And maybe this bath-taking behavior that had been documented a few years back has something to do with it.
Well, I will tell you as a person that has grown two humans that my husband loved that I was pregnant in the wintertime because our heating bill went down exponentially. So yes, great. Your body creates so much more heat. It's crazy. So with that being said, I mean, you are with the U of I, but you worked with others on this project. So can you tell us a little bit about the collaborators, but also how you use that network to actually conduct this study? Because U of I is in Moscow, so it's a ways away from Yellowstone.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a number of really really amazing people we got to work with on this project. So Charlie Robbins and Tony Carnahan at Washington State University gave us access to their captive grizzly bears, which allowed us to do a whole bunch of really interesting, borderline crazy kinds of things that you wouldn't just normally get to do with wild bears. For example, you know, when you want to measure the metabolic rate of a bear, how much heat it's producing as it travels at different speeds or, you know, up a hill or downhill, things like that. You go to Charlie's lab and you watch Charlie put a real grizzly bear on a treadmill and you measure its metabolic rate while it's walking on that treadmill. So that was a really incredible opportunity and allowed us to collect a lot of really detailed information about grizzly bears. So Frank Van Manen and Mark Haraldson with the interagency grizzly team, they were crucial in sort of getting us connected to the Yellowstone system and providing some GPS collar data from real grizzly bears that we could use to sort of validate the modeling that we were doing and see whether or not temperature really was influencing where real bears in a real landscape chose to spend their time. And then, you know, the modeling itself that we did was based on a really cool simulation computer type model that was developed by Warren Porter at the University of Wisconsin, and Paul Mathewson has also played a big role in that. So it's really, really quite a team and quite an opportunity to get to work with all of them.
I was going to say, I mean, how lucky did you feel to be right next door to Washington State? Because this, their grizzly program has been going on for decades. I mean, I'm a graduate of WSU, and I didn't study grizzly bears, but I got an opportunity to actually bottle feed a baby grizzly bear in college. There's so much research that goes on there.
Oh, absolutely. It's a phenomenal research program. It's one of those things, you know, that just like a lot of people, I've followed Charlie's work with the bears there for a long time, but never had really imagined myself having the opportunity to get involved in that in any way. So it was a real privilege.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Ryan Long with the University of Idaho about his research on grizzly bears using cooling pools to regulate their temperature and why they do this. So, Ryan, let's really dig into the study results for a bit. What did you learn then when it came to female grizzlies, both lactating and non-lactating female grizzly bears?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess a couple of key take-home messages. First of all, because grizzlies are large heat-sensitive mammals, they're potentially vulnerable to heat stress during the hot summer in Yellowstone, regardless of whether or not they're lactating. And what we found was if they didn't have access to, you know, pools of cool water to dump some of that heat, then the amount, how active they could be was actually limited because of the extra heat that's generated by, you know, moving from point A to point B and running and chasing prey and, you know, things along those lines. But we also found that for both lactating and non-lactating females, if they had access to pools of cool water where they could periodically just kind of jump in and dump a bunch of that heat, that was such an effective strategy that it allowed them to essentially completely overcome those thermal constraints on activity and reproduction, even in a warmer climate scenario that we simulated. So it really highlighted the importance of that behavior, and also just kind of a neat example of how clever and behaviorally flexible bears are in finding ways to make sure that, you know, this limitation doesn't keep them from doing what they need to do to survive and successfully reproduce.
So it sounds like heat and temperature play a really big driving force behind grizzly bears' behavior.
For sure. Absolutely. Yep.
So
especially with lactating females, especially for reproductive females. Yeah.
So as you mentioned earlier, we know that especially like Yellowstone, right? So Idaho, that Montana, Wyoming area, it's warmer longer, right, for prolonged periods of time. Did your study look at how climate change is then potentially impacting this population?
Yeah, in a manner of speaking. So what we did was we used all the information we had about how grizzlies exchange heat with their environment and, you know, things along those lines. And then we put that information into our computer model, but we sort of cranked up the temperature to simulate climate change and what conditions might be like 30 years from now, really as a way of determining whether or not the sort of the added stress or added potential stress of warmer temperatures might make this sort of bath-taking behavior suddenly not be enough in order to overcome those kind of constraints. And what we found was, like I mentioned earlier, First of all, yes, when you crank up the temperature, it becomes even more important for bears to find ways to dump that heat so that they aren't limited in their ability to reproduce and to move around. But again, we found that as long as they were able to have access to that, you know, those pools of cool water, that they could deal with it effectively. So I guess what it really highlighted was that the importance of having access to cool water for grizzly bears is going to grow as the climate continues to warm. And we're likely to see lactating females in particular spend even more time accessing those unique features of the Yellowstone landscape.
Do you think that, you know, as we mentioned, right, those, we also, that the videos of the bears, you know, cooling off in the water and all of that. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it you see a little bit of human behavior in that, right?
For sure. It's hard not to.
It's hard not to. So do you think it's good for people to kind of to make that connection? And why I ask that is that maybe we as human beings will kind of broaden our idea of how our behaviors impact, you know, wildlife like grizzlies and why they are having to go to these pools.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And, you know, is a value judgment to some degree. And, you know, I guess from my perspective, anything that I can do as a scientist that helps to foster a closer connection between people and the natural world around them is a good thing. There's really no downside to that as far as I'm concerned. And if this study and the sort of explanation that we provided for this unique behavior that people have, you know, kind of been interested in for a while helps to do that, then I think that's outstanding.
So what are you working on next?
Well, a bunch of things. I've got projects going with bighorn sheep in Idaho and Wyoming and Washington right now. I've got antelope, spiral horn antelope, and elephant research going on in Africa. So never a dull moment around here.
I love it. Hey, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us about this.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity, Jim. I appreciate
it. We appreciate it too. We've been talking with Brian Long. He's an associate professor of wildlife science at the University of Idaho. Of course, we will include a link to his study on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. More Idaho Matters next.